Happy to be joined now by Craig Forrest, Soccer Central analyst here on Sportsnet. Craig, thanks so much for this. So England, man, there's so many household names there and guys people have heard of and guys that have performed well and even younger players, too, on that English side. That has got to be, boy, in the list of English disappointments yesterday, has got to be near the top.
Absolutely, it does. However, you know, Ben, as you knew, we actually covered the qualifying for Euros last year, and we saw Iceland play on a number of occasions. In fact,
yeah,
we saw all 10 of their games, and they're a decent side. I mean, remember, they were in a group with the Netherlands, who failed to make the Euros, and they beat them twice, home and away, and Netherlands were the top 10-ranked team in the world. Also against Turkey, played very, very well, and the Czech Republic. They only conceded 6 goals in 10 games in qualifying. So we knew they were a good side. It didn't surprise me that they beat England. However, when you look at it on the surface and then after the dust settles, a country of 330,000 people beating a powerhouse like England, if you like, is an incredible story. And they're a good side, and they deserve to be in the quarterfinals.
Right, and there's they're not just like firemen playing for that team. Like those guys play in good leagues, and Gylfi Sigurdsson is used to be a great player in the Premier League. Like there's some names there. Everybody's name ends in S-O-N, which is incredible. But yeah, like it's not like guys that have you've never heard of playing for that Iceland team.
No, exactly. Yeah, no, they're a good side. I mean, Gylfi Sigurdsson certainly is their star player, Swansea player now, and then he went to Tottenham, came back to Swansea. Terrific player, well-organized side. And remember also for 2014 World Cup, they lost in the playoff to Croatia to qualify for that World Cup. So they've been around, and this team is in a golden generation. Obviously, it's not something they're going to be able to sustain just because of the size of their country, but they are names that in the footballing world that people know. And remember, too, as well, they're ranked in the top 40 in the world. So it's not like they're catching many people off guard, although just the size of the country and what they've actually achieved over this last few days is just exceptional.
Yeah, and the fact that they have no professional league on that island, like in that country. It's pretty crazy. And people have talked about the pros and cons of the expanded format here. At the European Championships with 24 teams now, and they talk about, oh, it was fun to watch Hungary, and even though they lost 4-0 to Belgium in the round of 16, it was a great run, and even Albania scored a goal, and Iceland's into their first major competition ever. You look at the celebration they had in Reykjavik after yesterday. Well, and now they're through the quarterfinals. I mean, it's harder and harder to criticize the move to expand this tournament, I find.
Yeah, I think there has been some terrific stories, and we weren't sure the expansion of 16 to 24 teams, whether that would be a good idea or not, whether it would hurt the tournament, because we've always seen it as one of the better tournaments, even better than the World Cup, because it was never watered down. 16 teams in Europe makes a very strong competitive tournament. 24, I wasn't too sure, but I got to say, with some of the storylines, the Northern Ireland story, even Wales making it out of the quarterfinals, Iceland, Hungary, like you said, I think some of these stories have really added some pageantry to the tournament, which has been exceptional. And after the initial bad press about some of the fighting that's going on in the streets over there, has settled down, and now the tournament's got to the quarterfinals, and it's an exciting time. Some big matchups there. I mean, the Germany-Italy thing, I think the Italians have got to be absolutely delighted with their performance so far. Chelsea Football Club with the Premier League will think they've got themselves a great manager with Conte moving over to the Premier League after the tournament as he leads the Italian side. That they've been absolutely brilliant. You can never count them out. The French are looking strong, and they've got to be happy they're playing Iceland, even though Iceland have done a really good job. And then you got Portugal and Poland. Hopefully Portugal play better than they did against Croatia. But it's all set up pretty nicely as well, with Wales, a nice story as well, up against Belgium, who are the team that are trying to fulfill their potential.
Talking to Craig Forrest, I'm Ben Ennis in for Jeff Blair at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So let's talk about this English side, Craig. And obviously crushing disappointment for them. It's been a bad couple of days in that part of the world right now with the Brexit, and then going out in the round of 16 to Iceland again. Like I mentioned, there's some quality players on that team. Harry Kane goes the entire tournament without scoring, though. If you can put your finger on what exactly went wrong for them, because they had moments in the group stage, too. That was a great 2-1 win over Wales. What went wrong for them? What do they have to do next?
Well, the good thing for England is that they're the youngest side of the tournament, so that bodes well for the future. I was pretty excited about this team and some of the young players that were coming into it to be able to, you know, not win the tournament, but certainly get to the quarterfinals and maybe, you know, get a little bit further than that, but potentially. So that's a good side of things, that the young players are there. And I think it's just a matter of the next manager having a plan. I don't think Hodgson had the plan and had his best 11. He changed things regularly because he wasn't sure. I mean, as an international manager, it's difficult too, because you don't have players playing with you week in, week out throughout the whole year. And I think that's where the Italians have a bit of a benefit, especially defensively, when four of their back five, including their goalkeeper, are Juve players. So they know each other and very familiar. So just getting the best 11 and knowing what you want to do and having a plan. And I don't think Hodgson did. He was making changes, and he played Wayne Rooney in a deeper lying midfield role, which he's never done before. Maybe there was some burnout from some of the young players. They had some big seasons, like Harry Kane this year. He's had a lot going on over the last 12 months. He's basically gone from a backup at Tottenham to the starting striker and a star striker at that. Big upside from Marcus Rashford down the road. You know, they've got some really good young players, Dele Alli, Ross Barkley, Eric Dyer. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's some good things to think about and some positive things to take from the tournament, of course, because of the young players and the talent. But overall, I don't think they really had a plan, and I don't think Hodgson really knew what his best 11 was. And it just and defensively, they looked a little bit soft at the back, soft-centered. So they got an awful lot of work to do, and it's just a disappointment all around, because it has been a bad week for England, that's for sure.
I mean, you mentioned Wayne Rooney in there, who's is certainly past his prime, where he was one of the best strikers in world football. And he's just kind of hanging on. And you mentioned that he's playing midfield role right now, and he's 30 years old, and it's the twilight of his career. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him in MLS in a couple of years at least. And I mean, you see a guy like Messi get so upset at the way that Copa America final went down and say he's retiring from the national team in Argentina. Ibra retiring from the national team in Sweden. Of course, he's got a couple of years on both of those guys. Like, how many more? Like, is it possible we saw the end for Rooney, at least in a starting, like, a significant role for England on that national team?
Well, potentially they're going to have to look into the future and think, well, what's going to happen next? It'll be 32 for the next World Cup, 34 for the next Euro. So yeah, it's getting to the end for Wayne Rooney for sure. And they've got we've talked about some of this talent coming through, young talent that will probably keep them out, but we'll have to wait and see. He hasn't retired from the national team. He hasn't done what Messi has said that he will do and retire from Argentina. We'll have to wait on that, but he loves playing for England, and I think he would really like to do something special, but he's running out of time.
Talking to Craig Forrest. So who's the favorite now, Craig? Because we went into this tournament, I think a lot of people said, France, Germany were a couple of those. I think Italy's really impressed, and you mentioned them. And of course, Belgium, one of those teams on the rise and made it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup a couple of years ago. Who's, in your mind, the team to beat here now as we go to the quarterfinals?
Well, I would have to. I still have Germany as favorites, but the Italians have always surprised, and Conte has done an amazing job. I mean, if you look man for man, you would have to say the Germans. The Germans haven't even conceded a goal yet. In fact, they've only conceded six shots again. And then you put on the back of that they have one of the best, if not the best, goalkeeper, Neuer, when teams do get through. But you know what the Italians will do? They'll defend really, really well. Nobody defends better than them when it comes to tournament football. And they'll try and nick them on the break and get when they score and take their opportunities when they come. We've seen this happen an awful lot, so you can never count them out, although Germany certainly are the team to beat for me. Belgium is a surprise in the fact that they've got such a great squad of players, and they've got all this talent, and will they fulfill that potential against Wales? We'll wait and see, because they certainly look as though they're getting better as the tournament goes on. France, the host, as we know, in 1998 in the World Cup, they won while they're host. They're up against Iceland. They couldn't get much of a better draw than Iceland. Take nothing away from Iceland, but for France in the quarterfinals, they got to be delighted with that. And then the Portugal-Poland game, that's a difficult one to pick. Portugal didn't look very good against Croatia. Croatia didn't look very good. It was a poor game all in all. And I think Portugal might nick Poland there, but that will be the closest one out of the four, I think.
So obviously at this point in the tournament and facing the home side, French, Iceland's the biggest underdog right now. Like number two, and it would be shocking if they beat France, and certainly if they won in a semifinal and made a final even, Maybe you could get to 2004 Greece comparisons. But I think if you, like, maybe the second underdog might be Wales, and certainly Gareth Bale playing for Real Madrid is a big name, and people know about him. But, like, if Wales, and they're on the right side of the draw to do it, if Wales beats Belgium, gets to a final, and somehow wins this thing, is that comparable to Greece winning in 2004? I imagine Iceland would be well beyond Greece,
yeah.
And it might be a Leicester situation if that were the case. But is Wales, like, is that a shocker maybe you could put next to that 2004 Greece team?
Absolutely, you could. Maybe even more so.
Yeah.
The Greek national team had played in major tournaments, certainly a lot more than the Welsh national team have. So I think that would certainly be up there. I think Gareth Bale has been excellent, not just on the field, but off it, how he deals with things. The players all appreciate him being there. He's just one of them. He doesn't play the big-time card. He's been excellent, even when they lost to England, and that was a disappointing game after they were one up. He was elegant about what he talked about and how the team performs and how they do it and how they go about their business, and that, you know, they're in a very special place and they're enjoying it, and they seem to be quite relaxed with the situation and found themselves in a very, you know, amazing situation where they are right now. Wales are in the quarterfinals against Belgium, and with a guy like Bale, you just never know. And same with Portugal, when you got a player like Ronaldo, you just always have a chance to win games just with those one or two players, and both of them have been excellent for the national teams.
You mentioned, well, we both mentioned the Messi announcement, of course, that he's retiring from the national side in Argentina after their another disappointing final loss for them in the final of the Copa America, and maybe mm-hmm. that was just like a spur of the moment decision, and maybe he regrets it already, and maybe he'll double back and change his mind. How does that, like, the fact that he is now 0-4 in these finals and he's never won a major title with the national team, despite making a World Cup final just a couple of years ago and then three Copa America finals, how does that, and there's no question from a club level, he's maybe, you know, the greatest in the world, him and Cristiano Ronaldo, and there's an argument to be made for both. How does, like, how high on the pecking order, or how high do you put that paragraph, maybe on his Wikipedia page, when he's retired, that he never won anything internationally for that Argentina side?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that, because, I mean, obviously, you know that he won the gold medal for Argentina, but in the game of football, the Olympic Games is not, I mean, he considers himself, he hasn't won anything at the international level, so that just shows you what the Olympics means in the football game. It doesn't mean an awful lot. He wanted to win one of these other ones. And they've lost, what, four finals in the last 8 years?
Yeah.
You know, it's been really difficult for him. And the World Cup final in 2014. Unfortunately, I consider him one of the very best that's ever played the game, if not the very best attacking player we've ever seen. Ronaldo, we put him up there as well. I'd say he's the overall, because you can play for Ronaldo anywhere on the field. I think he would be, you know, probably the best player on the field. So all-around player, I'd put Ronaldo up there. But from a standpoint of attacking, I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like Messi ever play the game. And we will, unfortunately, rank him as part of what he's done on the international level. And, you know, when they talk about Maradona in Argentina, he carried them to a World Cup, which Messi has not been able to do. He's been close at international, lost two penalty shootouts for Copa Americas to Chile. He's been very unfortunate, and they got a very good supporting cast, obviously, with Argentina, and they've got to the finals, but they haven't been able to get over that hump. And I think people will always, you know, debate that, whether or not he needed to win a World Cup to be regarded as the very best that ever played the game. And unfortunately, it doesn't look as though that's going to happen for Messi, although a lot of people are telling him to change his mind, including Maradona, to come back and play for the national team. He's getting a little bit older now, of course. And remember, just think of all the pressures he has playing for Barcelona at that level, week in, week out. And then he has to travel all the way to Argentina for qualifying for these Copa tournaments, for World Cup tournaments. It's pretty taxing on somebody. And eventually it's going to get too messy and it's going to be too much for him. And I guess at the end of the tournament, he felt it was too much for him. But we'll have to wait and see long term whether or not he changes his mind down the road and want to have one more crack at a World Cup or not.
Yeah, it seems like 29 is probably too early for him to hang him up. But he was definitely frustrated, and especially missing that penalty for his Argentina side. Hey, Craig, thanks so much for this. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Ben. Great to chat to you.